And any time he likes gets involved in a lot of physical activity, it just gets your lungs.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, you should thank God for that. Yeah. You know, it humbles you. If you're too strong, I'm not saying you could be strong and be healthy and still love God. Yeah. You could. If you have good parents and you have a right heart. But God does make an issue out of suffering. Mm-hmm. He does make an issue out of it. It keeps you humble. I think about all my little aura pains that we have and all that, and how it keeps you humble, you know? Oh, not everybody. Not everybody. People are atheists. They get pains, and they just go to nature. They think medicine, and they don't get those benefits. Now, where's the prayer list? I want to add a couple people on our permanent prayer list.
Oh, yeah.
The permanent one? No. Oh, there it is, yeah. Did you add Joe Prospect? Yeah. Oh, you did already. Joe Prospect? Posibek? Jack Posibek.
No, I don't.
All right. How do you spell his name? Jack what? How do you pronounce it? Posibek. I think he's now Seti Vacanti.
Yeah, that's good.
He holds the position. Who? It's
Justin Barrett, the guy.
Is he in there? Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Ramon and his family. But the guy, Jack Prosopic, he's on RAV, so like Ben Harnwell. All of a sudden, this Paul Kramer you just picked out, Phil.
Yeah.
He's famous, this guy. He was really, you remember Father Paul Kramer?
What's his face?
With Trinchard he was with, remember?
Yeah, okay.
And then something else, though. Who else is he with?
Fatima
Gruner. Oh, yeah, Gruner.
Gruner.
He was big with Gruner. Mm-hmm. Maybe he still is, I don't know. Big Fatima guy. But he's very famous. But it looks like he's holding the city of the composition now. He call him an apostate, anti-pope, or just Broglio? But he called him a heretic and everything. A Gnostic, you're a heretic. You know, so things are starting to happen.
Yeah.
I think him, it's amazing because, you know, you wonder how much it takes, but maybe we finally got to that point where they said I had it. And I think it has to do with this synodial thing they're having right now, where he's justifying queers and LGBT homos and faggots. Right. He's justifying them. And what he's saying is, well, it's not a marriage, but we can still give them a blessing, some kind of a blessing we can. You're going to give them a blessing instead of curses? Instead of telling them they're sinful? And he says, welcoming into Mass and giving Holy Communion? This guy's an idiot. He wants to give them a blessing, these civil unions. He wants to bless them. Oh, it's not going to be like a... But I want... We got to come up with some kind... We got to be compassionate. We got to open our church to them. Invite them in. Let them come to our masses. And this has been going on. You know, I don't understand. I don't know why it took this long for people to start waking up is what I'm getting at, you know? But he's like bombing you one thing after another. Go ahead.
What's interesting is now I know who you're talking about. I knew that name sounded familiar. I bought a book from him a while back ago. It's called The Suicide of Altering the Faith in the Liturgy. That's the Father Paul.
Yeah.
Paul L. Kramer.
That's
right?
It. That's him.
That's
who
you're talking about.
Yeah. And he's very. He was obstinate when it came to the Seti Vacanti position, and even condemning these guys. He would condemn certain things. He's like the typical Grunerites.
Yeah.
But for him to come out and say this about him now, is he never did that before.
Right.
So my point would be, okay. So because a lot of them, the whole thing was you can't declare a pope. No one can judge a pope. No one can declare a pope. So and they were afraid the minute you judge one pope, you can start judging them all. So they wanted to idolize all popes. So my point is now that he judged Broglio to be an anti-pope or a heretic, now let's go back to JP2.
Right.
Now you can't tell us any, because the big thing, even the diamond snake Michael was saying up there in the beginning, when he didn't hold a position, was you can't judge the Pope. No one can make a declaration against the Pope. He's the Pope forever, no matter what he does. He can offer up to Satan on the altar a human sacrifice with animals and say, oh, Satan, you're my God, and all that. He's still the Pope. He's still the Pope. And this is the biggest obstacle they had. And it didn't even make common sense, but... So once he admits this, the floodgates are opened, and the guy, Father Atwell, he's admitting, he's out there. What's his name, Atwell, or what was his name?
Altman.
So things are starting to getting people to look, and now when they're looking at that, they got to go back even further.
Yeah.
Which we don't know. You know, JP2, like you said, they look at him as their hero.
Yeah.
You know, JP2's their hero. He was the good guy. Even the Rat Man they look upon is like he's the good guy. This guy's teaching basically what they taught, though. It's the same stuff. But you're getting more and more people waking up to that position. But, you know, him, for him to even think about this, to get away with this. And they were interviewing, he made 22 new Cardinals. TJ's watching the Borgia movie. I don't know if you got there yet. The Borgia TV series from 2011 to 2013. But do not look on at it unless it's censored. It has immodest parts in there and other things that need to be censored. If you want to get a copy, contact me and I can get you a copy of the censored version. If you got to the part where, did you get to the part where Borgia's making new Cardinals?
I did, yeah.
And he was making more Cardinals because the ones that were on there were getting ready to get ridden because of fornication. Yeah. Because they said a pope that publicly fornicates is loses his office. He's gone. You can kick him out. So, and he knew that, and he said to Burkhart, what am I going to do here? And so he put in new Cardinals so he can stack the deck so that they can't outvote him. From all kind of stuff goes on. But he put in 22 new Cardinals, again, to support his, as he gets more radical, he gets rid of some and puts new ones in. He's looking at the balance on that. But this thing with the homos, and they're interviewing these guys, they're all homos. All the car, they talk, you look at the guys, they're all homos. They're so faggy. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing. They're like little fat. All you got to go is boo. And they're going to go, woo, yeah. Boo. And you give them a heart attack, you know. They listen to one of my lectures. I think they'd have a coronary heart attack. Yeah. What do you call it? Coronary pulmonism or arrest. I'm gonna arrest him with the coronary arrest.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a coronary arrest. If I listen to the kid's lecture, he's going to give me a heart attack. I can't take it. Oh, he's scaring me. You ain't seen nothing. Okay, you're just listening to me on a video of you in front of me. But it's really, that's the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, oh, watch, warning. Don't, this could be blood in this next scene. You know? You're going to see some dead bodies. You know, they're living in paradise. That's why God, things need to be killed. We're living in a dead world. That's why God wanted the animals to be killed and to the blood to be shed. Men that are obstinate sinners to be killed. We're living in a sin. Did you hear that? Yeah, what was that? That was the devil problem. So Michael just clubbed somebody over the head. He just took care of somebody out over there.
Brother Richard, can we start with James France or James Martin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a wretch. Yo, TJ was watching the movie right now, Borgia, and he must have forgot what I said because I said it a million times. Oh, not a million times, but I've said it before. But I said a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of lectures, so maybe he didn't hear it. But he started watching. He went, is this stuff true? He says, my jaw is dropping down one after another. I says, if not 100% true, almost 100% true. And I said, and not only is it true, I said, there's some things he did that are even worse that are mentioned in the history of popes by Louis Pasteur, and when he was given the permission by Leo XIII to go into the Vatican archives and pull all the stuff out. The History of the Popes by apostate Dr. Ludwig Pasteur, professor of history in the University of Innsbruck, written from 1891 to 1898, drawn from the secret archives of the Vatican and other original sources, authorized and approved by apostate anti-pope Leo XIII. So it's not from like a Protestant. It's from it's right out of archives. And when you read my great apostasy book, you're going to read some of this stuff. It's really bad. I mean, and then you're going to see the guy Julius II, who Cardinal de Rovere, who's the good guy in this. He's bad too. He astrology. Even though he didn't like fornication, he didn't like Borgia. That's true. But he liked he didn't get rid of the statues, and he also had bastard kids. And usury and astrology.
Commission the 16th
chapter. And astrology, yeah. So he's bad too. So it was like Jeroboam when you watch Solomon. Yeah, Solomon's bad. Jeroboam was good, but then he went bad. But this Dola Roger was bad too.
Yeah, he had a woman.
He's him too. He's a hypocrite. But when you look at it, that's the thing where you're sitting back and they would call, like when they go by, they were so enamored by mythologies that they would call the popes, the anti-popes, they would say, oh, this is Jupiter come down from heaven. Oh, Jove, oh, ye Jove. And they wouldn't say anything. They would accept it. They're calling him Job. They're calling him Jupiter and all that. That's in the history of pastors. So, you know, I say that's mandatory to look at that movie. Yeah, and you're looking at, that's it. Now that's what the great apostasy is about. And then TJ said, I can't imagine the Dimer Brothers. If they looked at that, they would say it's all a lie, the Dimer Brothers. They would deny it. Mm-hmm. They would say, it was only him, or you're scandalizing the papacy. Well, pal, I got the book. Look at the stuff. Look at the testimonies. That one testimony from that guy that visited there from Germany.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he said, he left within like a week or two. He says, if I stayed one more week in Rome, I feel like I would have lost my soul. He said, that's how bad it was. The idolatry, the fornication, the lechery, that's how bad it was. And you get all these testimonies. So come on, what's going on here? You think God approves of that? Just look at the idols. It showed. In the portion,
it showed.
When he went in the cave and he brought the idols into the church himself.
Was that TJ?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's so many striking things about it. Like, for example, the amount of wars that were going on back then, the French invading. Like, this is unbelievable. As you said before, Catholic nation against Catholic nation, one of them is wrong or both of them are wrong.
Correct.
And it was rampant. It was petty. You had Milan going against the Pope, who they considered the Pope. You had Savonarola that's running around.
He was a lesser of the evils.
I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, and then
I didn't hear that. What?
Yeah, and Savonarola was like the lesser of the evils. And here's another sad story. Savonarola, he's got some good stuff. He's saying in there, he does. But if you study the history, he was even bad. Because what happened with Savonarola, and I always question this: why didn't he succeed? Because I thought he was always really good. I didn't know about his scholasticism, and he loved Aquinas. He believed damned infants are happy united to God. He was a Stoic-y kind of. Because he condemned chess. He condemned musical. I mean, he went too far. Okay. And so he went too far. That's like, okay, good. You got rid of the extreme liberalism and some of the mythology and all that stuff, pictures. But you were such a Stoic, you were taking breath out of people. You're saying, don't breathe anymore. Don't be natural. And so he didn't succeed. He failed. And you got to sit back and say, why did he fail? Because he went too far to the right. So now you got your choice. Savonarola too far to the right, Stoic-y. But at the same time, liberal when it came to theology on scholasticism. And then you got the lefties on the other side. And because you were rooting for him. And he still was the lesser of evil in certain ways because he was condemning certain things. But then when you look at him idolizing scholasticism, talking about the damned infants being happy united to God,
yeah,
holding on to those because he loved Aquinas and he loved the scholasticism. And then he was also burning like guitars and musical instruments and chessboards. Yeah. Come on. So he wasn't good neither. But you're stuck like in a quagmire, you know? So some people, it was like one side had good stuff and good stuff, and both sides had evil stuff and evil, but they were different.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was a mess, and you look at them fighting with one another. Then you'd have what was Ferrante down in southern Italy, which was called, the King Ferrante? That was southern Italy?
Naples.
Yeah, the whole southern part of Italy. And then you had Milan. Then they were going against Venice. And then you had Florence, which is where the famous guy was there too in Venice. What's his name? They always talk about.
Medici.
Medici's, yeah. Nicovelli.
Machiavelli.
He's in there too. And when that's all happening, either you're all wrong or only one of you is right.
Right.
In this case, they're all wrong. I don't see anybody being right.
Yeah.
I do see a group of people being right, but as far as the nation itself, no. Because when you look at what was going on in, the Medici movie is really good, and you had the Posse. The Posse did not like the Medici. They were more conservative. So you did have some people, individual people, that were struggling for the life of the nation. But at this point, when you're watching the nation was taken over, and you're looking at the Medici. Go ahead.
Well, Savonarola really shed light on the papacy at that time.
He said he didn't back down. He didn't idolize the papacy. Yeah, and he did. He said, "This is no pope." He says, "He's no pope. I'm not even going to respect him." which we can use for, you know. Well, they used to do that. If a pope was really bad, then people rise up against them. They didn't idolize popes. But it was starting to happen then. But he, you see, notice what happened when you watch the movie, which is true about it, too. He says, I don't care if Savonarola condemns all the sins that are going on, but I don't want him to condemn me personally.
Yeah.
No ab homine attacks. Right. No ab homine. Oh, homosexuality is an abomination. Fornication is an abomination. Adultery, sex out of marriage, clerks having with women having bastard babies is horrible. But don't name the cleric.
Right.
See, don't name the cleric. That's the Gobi. Oh, we got these bad priests. We got these bad bishops. Right. But don't name them.
Exactly.
The minute I name them, Father Girolamo, no, Richard, we don't condemn anybody by name.
Exactly.
So we got these Casper the Ghost kind of people committing these crimes, and we're not allowed to warn you people about who's doing it or point them out by name.
Well, that's even like with the pedophilia. Remember that guy that exposed the pedophilia? He was involved with it, but he gave that testimony where he didn't do the killing because that was too much, but they told him you can't name names.
That's right.
And he made it, okay, I won't name any names.
No names. That's you can't name names.
Exactly.
So what good is it to condemn something? Then who's committing the sin? Okay. You got to warn people. This is non-judgmentalism, non-punitionalism. This has been going on for 500 years. I mean, look at the Council of Trent. Did they name any names?
No.
Of the manifest heretics that broke away from the Catholic Church? Luther? Yeah. Zwingli? Calvin? Huss? Henry VIII?
Right.
Nothing.
Didn't they used to in the earlier
reports? Always. And they would repeat it in all the following councils so you would remember.
Right.
And again, the Arians, the Macedonians, the Sabellians, the Modalists, the Origenists, and they would go on and on.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, now, well, we can talk about sin, but not, we can't judge anybody by name. So that's what we call non-condemnationalism is you can't even condemn sin. So that's where we are now.
Yeah.
So back then, okay, you can condemn sin, and you can say certain sins are committed, but you can't condemn anybody who's committing it. You can't denounce them. You can't reprove them. You can't rebuke them. You can't call them out by name. And so when that happens, you got these people who committing all these sins, remaining in good standing as Catholics in the church, writing books, ruling people in offices. This was going on in the Borgia movie. Look how much they were, if they're not fornicating with women, they were homos. They were going homos, or they were going young boys.
Did Christ name somebody?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's like the height of the Amos curse and the Romans one curse, and it just got worse in there.
Yes.
Who was there to stop them from that point?
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's exactly right. And how is anybody going to be able to stop them when they're in power? Because they're going to just elect their own people, and they're going to put in their own people. And like I said before, the only way that can change is if God killed the whole cardinalate, kill them all by some invader, and just start it up new again. And if you notice when you're watching these movies, it's kind of sad too, because Cesare Borgia, you feel a little sympathy for him, because his father, if he had a better father, he might not have been so bad. But he knows there's certain things that are wrong, and his father's encouraging him to go on and sin. But my point is, in that movie too, you will see God working even with them to convert them. God's even trying to get their attention. When he crashed in the ceiling, when he was saying a mass on him, it got him to almost repent. He went, wow, we're doing something wrong here. But he only thought the sins he was guilty of was fornication, because I'm going with women. He didn't look at the sins against the faith. He never looked at that as a problem. That's what I said when that one verse in Isaiah, he lit them round about with fire and they knew not. They knew they were burning. They knew not why. Why is God doing this? So he's thinking, maybe because I'm fornicating with women and I got bastard kids, I'll stop. So he tries to stop. That's not your main problem. Your main problem is sins against the faith. Idolatry, idolizing mythological false gods, and scholasticism and philosophy. And all the heresies that come in with it. That's your main problem.
Yeah.
And then when he killed his son Juan Borgia, and if you read it's true, that really got him. That really got him. Then he almost wanted to repent, but he still never acknowledged his, but God, you see God working with them, and they're not listening. You know, but they're not listening. And if God could have, if a pope would have converted, like say Borgia or anyone, Julius II, would have really converted, he could have got rid of all his cardinals and put in good ones. But you would need a pope to do that. But if your pope is bad and he doesn't really convert, he's putting cardinals in that are just like him.
Exactly.
And then when he dies, they're all like him. So unless God converts a pope and he cleans out the ranks, or he kills them all. I forgot to mention the other way, which is occurring today, and it regards a deeper dogma that non-Catholics cannot hold offices in the Catholic Church, that if they have the offices and they become formal heretics or schismatics, they automatically lose their offices. And if they were elected, and when they were elected, they were formal heretics or schismatics, they don't get the office. So what's happening today is we point, based upon that deeper dogma, all we need to do is point out that these so-called popes are apostate anti-popes. They're not true popes. These so-called cardinals are anti-cardinals. They're not true cardinals. The hierarchy is vacant. And this way, God is then going to choose a pope, a true Catholic faithful pope from some other area, make him the head of the church, and then he will reinstitute the hierarchy with cardinals and bishops. By some invasion. And then you had all plagues. Look at all the plagues that took place. I mean, God wiped out like almost all Europe. That's God's telling you. He's angry at you. He's trying to get you to turn around. And you go back even further, and when you're looking at that movie, come on. Was it in the time of Peter, was it not Lombard, Damien, who was a heretic, another issue. But he had a lot of good writings, though. This is the 11th century, 1000s, right? I think 11th century. Or was it the 12th century? 1000s, right? Yeah. But I think, check Peter Damien. It's either 11th or the 12th century or the 11th. I think it's the 11th, though.
Yeah.
I think it is. But if you look at his writings, in his day, I forget where he was in Italy or Rome, in Italy somewhere, but every bishop and almost every priest was a homo. And he's railing against it. Almost everyone. And he's telling, you got it. And what they were doing is they were condemning a priest that were doing a homo thing. They're trying to, not real hard, though. But they were laying off the bishops. They wouldn't condemn the bishops. So this is going on in the 11th century.
Yeah, he died 1072.
Yeah, the 11th century. That's why I say the greatest apostasy began. Imagine looking at a movie like that. What, he's homo, 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 faggot, queer, homo. And you're going, wait a second. This is rampant. This is like an infectious disease. How could these be the people of God? How could they be blessed? When you're like that, you're not Catholic. When it's that bad, right out in the open. So that movie's an eye-opener. And you sit back and when you look, that's why I say it's a good lead-in to get you to inspire you to read the Great Apostasy book. Because what happened was when I first got that movie, I didn't believe it neither. I said, this is too much. I can't look at this. I don't believe it. And then when I read the History of Popes by Pasteur, I went, wow.
Yeah, because you put it away.
For a couple years. I wouldn't put it on. I said, this is too, I don't believe it. Yeah. I said, they've gone too far. I says, I know he might have been bad. This is, I don't believe this. But that's when we started going back.
Yeah, right.
If the History of Popes by Louis Pasteur. And I started to read that and went, wow, it's true. It was as bad as that. And he's got all this stuff in there. I censored some of them. They were at those things. They would have like orgies, you know, like Bacchus orgies. They'd have the Feast of Fools.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible. Just like you've seen him in there with when he lit the thing, when he's the Janus and all that. Yeah. Anyway, my point is, if you can get the people to look at this and they're honest and they want to look at all the evidence, you have to sit back and say, that ain't the, and see, now that's why the Protestants succeeded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to sit back and say, that's not the Catholic Church. I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to call him Holy Father. I don't care. That's where Savonarola was good. I mean, at least he did condemn by name. He was a lesser evil, but he was still bad because of his scholasticism with philosophy, and he was a Stoic. Then you get into the whole thing about did you get into the bitch of Forlì yet? Of Forlì. What was her name?
Katerina
Schwarza.
Schwarza, yeah.
The Schwarzes, the whole thing, man. What a mess. What a mess.
I liked how they did Savonarola, how he died and all that, because it's just, they didn't even realize it. They thought they were trying to like make the Catholic Church look bad, and they did, but it was honest, and it wasn't like rewarding one side or the other. And Savonarola ended up, you know, if it was St. Patrick, if it was someone who's doing the admonishing correctly, he would have survived, or at least you know, if he wasn't burned like that.
Yeah, they did. He wasn't like a total hero neither. But at the same time, you know, if you're looking at that, yeah, okay, the Catholic Church, we do kill people if they're obstinate heretics. But in this case, he killed Savonarola for the wrong reason, yeah, of course. But like, the thing was, when I watched it, it was him, because he had control of the empire down there for a while, Savonarola. He controlled it. The Medici's, he kicked, they left. And they had to leave, and he was running the place. And so I was rooting for him because I didn't know how bad he was yet. I didn't study Scholastica deeply yet. I didn't know about all of that yet. So I thought he was a hero. But then I was disappointed when he lost. I went, why did he, you know. Although I did detect stoicism in him.
Yeah.
That I did detect when he was burning chessboards and musical instruments. I'm like, that's too far.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, he was, in a sense, just as bad for the people as the lefties. It's bad. When you start telling people to give up things that are naturally good, it's like, you have to stop breathing now. Stop breathing, because if you breathe, you commit a sin. And I can't do that. Now we're living in a... Before we had all this licentiousness, now we're like robots,
yeah,
where we can't even smile or do anything or have any pleasures. But what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. And that's the history of God's chosen people. And people say, okay, well, read the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Come on, read the Old Testament. Except David, Ezekiah, and Josiah all committed sin, the kings of Judah, and forsook the Lord and blasphemed. That was in... except David, Josiah, and Ezekiah all committed sin. Royal kings of Judah forsook the Lord the Most High, despised the fear of God, and gave their glory to another nation. And that was Ecclesiastes 49 or 44, 49. But anyway, just three good kings. I mean, and they were all fighting one another. And Judah would fight, then these brothers would fight to try to take over the kingships. Then the southern kingdom was fighting the northern kingdom. So you had, even God, that's God's chosen people are mostly evil. That's all there is to it.
And Martin Luther was 20 years later, and as you were saying, natural progression from what was happening with the Medici. And you have people like General O'Doherty who think the great apostasy was the Protestants. And all this is just a deepening of Amos' curse.
Yeah.
It's just, it took the attention away from the Medici and onto the Protestants, and they're just deeper and deeper into this Amos' curse. They're not seeing what the true issue is.
That's a good point, because when you're looking at it, why did it happen?
How did it
happen? I mean, why did it succeed? And you're blaming it all on the Protestants. They went too far. Yes, I agree. If they don't convert, they're going to go to hell. You don't have to go that far. But they're still not as evil. A lot of them were not as evil, and I say it a lot of times. Like TJ just said, the main evil was a nominal Catholic Church, the anti-popes that scandalized the world. You're the one that gave fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Think about this. If the Protestants broke away and from a solid Catholic Church, when there was really good popes, good cardinals, good bishops, all holding the faith, what's the big deal?
No.
I'm not lost. I know where I got to go to hold the faith. But when these guys are teaching heresies, when they're committing idolatries, when they're committing immoralities, and they're the guys you're supposed to go to defend off and not become a Protestant, they scandalize you, and it almost pushes you into the Protestant camp. So they were the worst of the apostates, were the nominal Catholics, worse than the Protestants.
Yeah.
They precipitated the whole thing. They were the root and origin of the whole thing, which is where we are today. Look at the end result of the nominal Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And these leaders, they're now openly accepting the Protestants.
Yeah.
Openly accepting them. So a lot of these Protestants were scandalized, and what they saw... And so some went too far. That's why I say there was more chance of these conservative Protestants to convert on their deathbed than these nominal apostate Catholics. Leaders and rulers, at least. Those guys are the most evil.
And go one step further, they're even accepting the Jews now.
Yes, they're the Jews. Yeah. Right, exactly. They're under a covenant with God. They're God's chosen people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talk about a scandal. It's unbelievable. I think, just look at what you're looking at today in Rome. Would any good-willed person come into... Think what TJ was just saying there. This is you can see it now, and it's ugly. Full. You can see it back then, too, if you look at the idols and you look what's going on. But it's even worse now with the stuff that you're preaching out there. And you're saying, this guy says, I'm going to bless homos. Homos, you can't condemn them. And you got a good-willed person who's a Protestant conservative. And you say, would you become a Catholic? I ain't going into that church of pedophiles and idolaters and homos. That guy don't even condemn homos, he blesses them. Who's going to go into that church? You know, if that's the Catholic Church, no, I don't want, you justify him in his Protestantism. Even that Daniel Kapner said that to us. And we said, no, we're not with that church. That church is great. It's not true. They're worse than the Protestants. And they're the cause of the Protestant rebellion. If you had good Catholics in here all the time, the Protestant rebellion, because you had rebellions early on with the Arians and all that, you'd have a home to go to. You'd have a place to go to get the faith. You'd still have a rock to hang out on. You wouldn't be threatened or to lose your own faith. If you're listening to these guys, think about this. When they started to bring in the idols and scholasticism and all these heresies we're talking about, now once they started to teach them to the people, which it took a while for it to filter down to the people, but they were still, with the Holy Eucharist, okay, maybe, you know, they're deeper dogmas, so it's not going to, but still, then they got into some basic dogmas, which they're denying now. The people that held those were guilty, because the theologians and the anti-popes and the cardinals and ones that are supposed to know theology were guilty, because it was their duty to know that. And because even though on the Holy Eucharist, those were deeper dogmas, but they were deeper dogmas of the solemn and ordinary magisterium. So when you look at that, you have to go back and look what was going on back then and stop blaming everything on the Protestants or someone else. Look at what was going on back then for that to happen. And the Protestants, God used a lot of these Protestants to bring out stuff to them that they were doing wrong. Yeah. And they won't listen, so these Protestants didn't know where to go. They go, okay. And some of them would still hold on to a lot of the Catholic stuff. What was the example I was thinking of, too, on...
About that Protestant preacher in Alphonsus.
Yeah, but
the Anglicans have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, yeah. But there was stuff that they knew was wrong, like when they were selling indulgences, or reading the Bible, for instance. They were right about that. The Catholic Church, we didn't discourage reading the Bible. The Bible was chained up because we don't want people to steal it. Fine, I agree with that. You know, it's an expensive Bible. But if you read the church fathers, the first 1,000 years of the church, they all loved the scriptures.
Yeah.
Everybody. They knew it. They quoted it. They loved it. Then all of a sudden, they didn't want their people to read the scriptures anymore. Nominal Catholic apostate anti-popes and theologians. They didn't want us to read. I grew up. You grew up with it. We all grew up with it. All our Bibles are on the bottom shelf collecting dust. Only the Protestants were reading the Bibles. That's a scandal.
Yes.
You can't estimate the scandal. Take a Protestant who rightly reads the Bible and loves it. And we it's our book and we hate it. Not hate it, we're indifferent towards it. And if we read it, we would hate it. Some people would hate it. Oh, he's a vicious God, he's a monster. So we did, and they said, if the Catholic laymen start reading the Bible, they're going to be on to us. They're going to be able to condemn the apostate anti-popes and the anti-cardinals and the anti-bishops and their nominal Catholic priests and their heretical catechisms if they start reading the Bible. Just read the Bible and you can condemn 50% of the stuff they're doing. If not more. By just reading the Bible. So they didn't want that. Because then you're going to come up and say, Father, what about this? Father, you said there's no devils. What about Jesus when he did this? Father, you said you can't kill nobody. Look what Jesus said in this verse. Look what this, Jesus said over here. Look what St. Paul said over here. Father, you said this, but look what the Bible says. So they are right about that. And we're living proof of it. Only the charismatic ones read the Bible now, which is good. They're at least reading it. But before that, no, you don't read the Bible. And if you do, it's embarrassing. They think you're a Jesus freak. You're a nut. You're reading the Bible. I'm a nut for reading the Bible? I'm a Jesus freak for talking about Jesus? So these nominal Catholics scandalized are the worst scandalizers in the world. Today, now, no good world person will go near that church. But that's why you got to go back and people, one guy, what was he saying? They would say as you're attacking the church, you know. I was even analyzing popes in the beginning myself. I did. I was a papal idolater early on in. I didn't want to hear none of this stuff. And that's why when I got the movie Borgia, I went, nah. Everyone knows he had bastard kids and he had, well, but all this, I said, nah. That can't be. And I went, it can't be true. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, after I started reading Pastor, I went, wow. Wow. They were consulting astrologists as to when they should be ordained or when they should accept the papal so-called papal office. When is it propitious for me to accept the papal crown? Read the stars for me.
I'm using the confessional to hide all their sins and all their lies.
All the confessional. And this shows it too.
Yeah.
And they did. They abused indulgences. They sold. They did a lot of bad stuff, I'm telling you. Even Luther pulled out, some of the stuff he pulled out was true what he was saying. He picked up the divine. He says, can you believe he said that Aquinas or Lombard came out and the church is teaching that the divine essence doesn't beget, it's not begotten, doesn't proceed. He caught that one. Yeah. He mentioned it. He said, can you believe that? Did you say the divine essence doesn't beget? Then how was Jesus begotten? From what? Oh, what a scandal. And the other guy in my book that was bringing that up, they attacked him and called him a heretic. And I never studied him, so I don't know if he really was a heretic or not, but they called him a heretic because he was holding a dogma. Mm-hmm. And they would call him a heretic because he condemned Lombard for teaching that. I always said there were other people better than Savonarola back then. If you read the book, Pastores, he'll tell you about some people that were like, he wasn't the only one. There was other preaching out against him. They would either kill him or they would banish him. And they would have to go to another place and hide out because they were on the blacklist. They were gone. So there's a lot of saints.
We would have been kicked out.
We would have been killed or kicked out. We can't talk like we are. We would have been burned at the stake.
Yep.
We would have been killed or locked up in prison. Yeah. They wouldn't even let us out of prison. I mean, that's our choice if we were living in. Our other choice would be to escape, going to a Muslim country or going to a Protestant country or something. So we can still keep the faith, but they wouldn't be able to track us down. That's what's going on.
At that time, a lot of those things
would
come too.
Well, maybe they would, maybe they won't.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on what their attitude is. If they're,
if you went to England, Henry VIII's England.
Depending on what they were doing, you know, like Protestants, if you're a good ruler, you don't just kill your subjects because they don't believe like you do. You're gonna have to kill them all. You have to tolerate them. You don't want to force them to be Catholic. Even the Muslims know that. They would probably just lock you up in a ghetto and say, stay there, but don't preach it in public. That's usually what happens. You even got Christians in Iran. I wasn't going to talk about the Borgia, but being that you brought it up, it's interesting to talk about again, because people should really, if that movie, it's like anything, these movies are great inspirational pieces. It brings it to life. And then when you read a good book, it's even better than a movie, really. If you read generally, but you know what's good about these movies, though, that are long with the series, they're like 20, 50 parts, then it's like reading a book. Because before, let's say if you took the Downton Abbey or Crown or Borgia and you boiled it down into a two-hour movie, so you have to cut all that stuff out. Well, when they had movies, they were usually 2 hours, and they didn't have the series like you see them today. These series that go on and on, they're historical. It's great because you get into the details. It's like reading a book. But before, when you only had this all condensed into like 2 hours, and then you had the book will go into all the details. And the book is generally better than a movie in the sense of you're getting more real details. It's really good when you read a book. You get all the details because the movie didn't get in that deep. But now with these long series, they can get into more topics. And it's a good way about learning history, about what was going on at that time. But the thing is, if you don't make sense of this to the Protestants, and you want to continue to call these people Holy Father, and these are popes, and they're impeccable, they can do whatever they want and still be pope, and they can do all this stuff, and I mean, that's a scandal. Today's the epitome of that. I just ask you, go ahead.
Well, I remember talking to Jack a couple years back, and talking about that we are not the same Catholic as Catholic, and then immediately says, "Yeah, what's with that? What's with that homo stuff?" Or you know,
yeah.
So they're scandalized, even though he's not a very strong Christian himself.
But yeah, but that's scandalized anybody.
Scandalized, yeah.
Yeah, even the Viking people will kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, a pagan who has a natural law is not going to want to go into that church. I mean, look at the way Paul preached. Even well, look at how the guy responded to us after I wrote that letter to the editor. He goes, God's a loving God, or you're calling scriptures out of context. You see, they don't want to judge or condemn anybody.
That TRC guest.
Yeah.
He's a piece of work, that kid.
You guys are anti-Semites.
Yeah.
You're anti-Semite bastards!
I wrote him back. I said, well, go ahead. Write an editorial. He says, we're not afraid of the truth. I said,
Hitler was right on a lot of things. He was a lesser evil in the Axis power. I said, come on.
Good, good.
Yeah,
you did right on back. Did you put it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you post it?
Yeah, well, it's on. You can go in there and
Good.
They allowed it, too. So yeah. They have to look at it. And they
Will's doing some good work here, folks. I'm going to tell you. He does have their attention.
Yeah.
And it's a big moment now.
I know.
Because you're revealing that they would not even. It's all people became like that. You know, so it's like. When we're talking about, we're saying conservative Protestants, but where are they?
Yeah,
all 10 of them. I mean, they're out there. There's a few of them, but most of them, they're like the non. They're all bad.
Yeah.
Even the Protestant groups now, they're all bad. They're all of these bad. They're afraid to speak up.
That same guy, he was commenting on somebody else's. I think it was
Boland
or something.
Yeah.
All mad at the paper for allowing radicals to write their
thing. Oh, he said that? Yeah.
But you can write your little unradical stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's really radical too, isn't he? He's a radical liberal.
I know.
He's a radical liberal.
Yeah.
What do you mean radical?
Oh,
you know, liberalism is a religion.
It is.
It's got, they got their...